I'm excited today to minister a message God has given me to wrap up the series of what we're talking about, Elijah. Still got a few more in me, but as we're wrapping up our fasting. And so as you remain standing, grab your Bibles out. And when you walked in, they handed you a piece of paper. They're the notes to my message, as well as the verses that we're going to read together. And it's here, 1 Kings. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 18. You could turn my microphone up. That'd be great. Thank you so much. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 through verse 45. I'm sorry, we're going to go through verse 46 this morning. And as you're turning there, I just want to make mention that the revival, and although we're praying and fasting today, you go ahead and have a cheeseburger, you're going to go ahead and jump in and go for it. But I don't want you to think that seeking God ends. We're going to continue it all year long. We're going to continue pressing into Jesus, moving, seeing God moving. So a few things I want to tell you we're doing is our Wednesday night revival nights that we've been having. I feel led of the Lord to continue them through this year. So every Wednesday night, the church is going to be open for service, full on worship, and we're going to be going through the book of Acts, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're going to do a book of Acts study, and it's going to be a powerful time. So Wednesdays, spread the word at the Fullerton campus. Service is open. Thursday is our Espanol. Saturday, we have our first prayer, and then every Sunday morning, say every Sunday morning. Because remember, Elijah had to pray the cloud in. Every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., we have Sunday morning prayer if you just want to come pray on Sunday morning. So just letting you know, no pressure, but some people, you know, we're going to be praying and we're going to pray for God to move this year. Listen, folks, we want the rain. Come on, somebody. I said, we want the rain of God. And so that's kind of just some things we're doing, and just want to let it out there for people that looking for some ways to jump into the deep end of the pool here at Freedom House Church. So 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 through 46. This is now the fifth week that I've been ministering in these verses. And we're looking at Elijah when he prays in the rain when there was a drought. And the metaphorical drought for us is, how do we bring the rain of God's revival into our lives? The Bible reads like this. It says, and Elijah said to Ahab, he said, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of what type of rain? Heavy rain. It says, so Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, where he bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees, and that was a prayer position. He said, go look towards the sea, told his servant. And when he went and he looked, there was nothing there. Say, nothing there. And that's the fact of prayer. Sometimes you pray and nothing happens. And he said, seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time his servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And so Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose and a heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. And watch this, here's what I'm gonna be ministering today. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. And what I want you to see is here, is that the power of God comes on Elijah, and he literally runs ahead of the chariots. And the fact is this, God's power will come on your life, will cause you to run ahead to what you thought was ahead of you. And today I want to talk about a message that I've entitled, Running Ahead of the Horses, Running Ahead of the Horses. We're going to have some fun today. Bow your head, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we know, God, that when your word speaks, things move. When your word goes forth, it changes things. And God, this morning, let your word change us. Let it speak to us, Lord. And Father, I'm praying that as the power of God came on Elijah and he ran ahead of the horses, let the power of God come on us to run ahead, Father, this year. We're seeking you, Lord, and we came today for your word, your presence, not the word of man, but the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Give God a clap. You may be seated and just tell the person next to you, say, go ahead. Just don't say, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Like, just look and say, go ahead. That's right. Go ahead. I want to talk today. Today, I really want to talk about taking action, moving forward. Because how many know at some point, you got to do something, right? You got to do something. I think one of the things that plagues a lot of people is indecisiveness, right? Like, I don't know what to do, so then I don't do anything. And doing nothing is worse than not doing something. Because you got to actually put some things into motion, because at least if you try something and you know it doesn't work, you can do the other thing. You follow what I'm saying? And so I want to talk today about taking action in this message that I've entitled Running with the Horses, because we've been on a journey together, and this whole series has really led up to this moment where we've been fasting, we've been praying, we've been studying God's word. And like I mentioned, I've actually been preaching 5 weeks out of this passage of scripture. And I love it. I love it. I could preach another 5 weeks if you want on these scriptures. Let's go. The word of God. There's plenty of meat and potatoes in the word of God. Come on, somebody. But, you know, it's funny. Some people are like, oh, I love the series you just started. I'm like, I'm preaching for 5 weeks. Come on, somebody. But anyway, you know, we've been on this series, and the culmination of this text is what we read today, where finally the rain comes. And now we've seen as that Elijah actually starts running in this supernatural way. And it was all supposed to show the world that you can do more with God than on your own. Come on, somebody. And so the weeks that we've been talking, and I just want to summarize it because it's going to slide right into today's topic, is I told you week one that when there's a drought, because what is in this text, the backdrop is there's a drought, there's a dry season, and there's no rain in the land for 3.5 years. And the first thing Elijah says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And that's why I told you the most important thing to hear is God's voice when there seems like it's a dry season. And real people that of faith, you hear things from God when you see something that is different. What you hear is more important than what you see. Are you tracking with me? You might see a drought, but you need to hear what God has to say about your situation. I don't want to hear what my cranky cousin has to say. I don't want to hear what the devil has to say. I want to hear what God has to say about my situation. Come on, somebody. And so we talked week one about hearing God's voice and how Elijah goes up to Mount Carmel to pray because he heard something. And a lot of times that's what church is like. You come to church and you hear something. You hear something that sparks your faith, that it might be even contradictory to what you're seeing at home or seeing in your life. You're like, well, Pastor, I see dryness, but I hear rain. I hear you talking about this rain. And I told you we have to pray about what we hear from God. And then when Elijah goes and prays, and we talked week two about how he begins to humble himself and he begins to pray and he doesn't really see anything taking place, right? And he goes up into the high place, and even though he's discouraged, you know, not knowing, what does he do? He begins to seek God. And I told you, you got to be a rainmaker in order to see the rain come in your life. Everybody was caught up on what they needed. We need water. Elijah was caught up on who they needed. We need God. And you can't get caught up in the supply. You got to get caught up with the supplier. Okay? Because the world gets caught up on the supply. We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have this. And we need this. It's like, no, it's not what you need. It's who you need. So Elijah goes and he prays to God. He's like, the only one who can solve this situation is God. Okay? Because you could be in like marriage problems. Like, what we need is a vacation. And you're going to argue on vacation. And you're like, you come back and fighting more, you know? And it's like, I thought that was supposed to work. No, it's not what you need, it's who you need. Are you tracking me? What I need is just to chillax, so let me just go get a little lit. That's what you think you need. It's not what you need, it's, come on. So, okay, you got it, right? So he goes and prays to God while Ahab goes and just parties it up. And then he starts praying, and that was week two. Then week three, we're going somewhere here, okay? I just want to track it because I don't like to teach fast, okay? I want us to absorb this, okay? This is powerful stuff. And I might have to just put all this in a book. I mean, there's like 6 chapters right there, right? Come on, somebody. Anyway, pray for me. Speak Holy Spirit, come on. And so that was week two. Then week three, we find that Elijah begins to pray. And when he prays, nothing happens. And I told you in week three that there are going to be many times in your walk with God that you're going to be sincere and you're going to pray. And listen to me, nothing's going to happen. You're going to be like, God, would you do this? And he told him, go check. Do you see anything? He's like, nah, bro, nothing there. And there'll be many times in your walk with God that you're going to pray and nothing's going to happen. It's happened in my life, where I've prayed and I said, God, would you please do this? I told you, my wife and I, we couldn't have kids for the first 5 years of our marriage. And there's family members of mine that I'm believing to get saved. And I've prayed many times and nothing's happened. And I've had to come to grips. I was like, is this where my faith stops? where maybe this doesn't work? Is this where my faith stops, or could this be the place where my faith starts? Where I said, God, I'm gonna trust you when it, no, I don't see nothing. So he prays seven times, right? Seven times he prays. It doesn't happen. He prays, doesn't happen, prays. And I talked to you about perseverance, how you got it. What you need to do is persevere, Hebrews 10, 36. And so we got to persevere. And finally, after praying seven times, he sees a cloud. But it ain't just a cloud. It's a small cloud. Come on, you paid attention in class. Pay attention in class. You guys get an A. Come on, somebody. Right? They see a small cloud, right? And so week four, I told you how there are often times that you will make big sacrifices, but you will see small progress. And you can't get discouraged if it's just a small cloud. Don't get discouraged, because when Elijah saw the small cloud, he got excited. He's like, turn up the praise song. I got my jig getting ready to party. I'm getting ready to praise God, because if there's a small cloud, that means that something is starting to happen, and something is a whole lot better than nothing. Come on, somebody. I'm starting to see little signs. I'm starting to see little clouds in my marriage. I'm starting to see little clouds in my attitude. I'm starting to see little clouds in my emotions. I know you're still battling anxiety, but at least you had a good morning so far. Come on, celebrate the cloud, celebrate the cloud, celebrate the cloud, right? And I taught how you got to celebrate the small thing. Don't get frustrated when you only see small progress after big sacrifices. Okay, because if the devil can convince you that it's just small, then you'll give up. But big things always come from small things, because the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So he sees a small cloud. There's your summary. Come on, somebody. And he now says, yo, get ready, because the rain's coming. Because clouds are a manifestation of what's going to bring the rain. And the cloud is a manifestation of God's, you know, getting ready to change things in the atmosphere. And I know you haven't seen the full change, but I'll tell you what, I see a cloud. I see thousands of people that fasted at Freedom House Church. That's a cloud. Someone say the rain is coming. Tell your neighbor, say the rain is coming. Say the rain's coming. I'm telling you, mark my words, the rain, if you sought God and you sought him and you prayed and you stayed faithful to him, get ready, because the rain is coming. I mean, in fact, I'm just going to prophesy right there. May the rain come upon your home. May it come upon your life. May it come upon your situation. I prophesy, I declare, and I decree according to his word that your countenance will change this year in Jesus' name. If you receive that, just shout amen. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting fired up now. Lord, help me. I got my doctor shirt on today, my wife told me. Come on, somebody. You see me, just say, what up, doc? Come on, somebody, all right? I like having fun. I like having fun. You can't make fun of yourself. You take yourself too serious. It comes to this point here where now Elijah, the Bible says that, let's read it together, verse 46. Watch this. This is great stuff. We're going to have some fun today. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. I can't wait for it. He says in verse 46, he says, the power of the Lord came on who? What came on Elijah? The power of God. The power of God. God didn't promise you, listen to me, God didn't promise you you would never have a hard time. But he did promise you his power. Thank you, God. I'm going to take a moment here to say thank you, Jesus. He promised me his power. So the power of God comes on Elijah. Watch it now, as he was praying. That's why there's always prayer. Every time you come out of prayer, you come out powerful, just so you know, more powerful. And so he came on Elijah. Then Elijah tucks his cloak into his belt. That would be like his shirt. He tucked his shirt into his belt. We'll talk about that here in a second. And he says, and then he ran ahead all the way to Jezreel. So my man was like Forrest Gump. I was running, you know. Run, Forrest, run. I mean, my man runs all the way to Jezreel. Now, if you ever in your Bible, you can go to the book of maps. You know the back where all the maps are? Tough crowd. Okay. So it's not actually a book in the Bible. It's just the maps. Okay. So when you look at the maps, the Jezreel would have been in the northern part of Israel, and this would have been, many scholars believe, a 14 to 16 mile cross-country run. So my man goes from, you know, Big Bear Mountain or Mount Baldy, would have been more like a Mount Baldy, not you know, miles and miles, but he would have been on a good little mountain there, and my man runs 14 to 16 miles like Usain Bolt style. Just like, I should have worn my Nikes. And my man's runs, and as he's running, I mean, just picture this. This is how my brain works, okay? Ahab is like the rain's coming. And he's on his horses, right? The rain, oh my goodness, the cloud's there. And as he's running, he thinks he's ahead of Elijah. Elijah's way back over there. He's up there doing that prayer stuff. He's over that church stuff. Then my man turns and he sees Elijah. Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You know, my man sees Elijah. He's like, what in the world? I'll tell you, the Bible's fun. My man sees Elijah just high-stepping it, tippy toes, you know, driving the knees, you know what I mean? And my man is just booking it, and he's like, what in the world? And Elijah runs so fast. Oh, God. Okay, here it comes. This is good stuff, man. He runs so fast that what appeared ahead of him, God allowed him to make up the ground when he thought in the natural it looked like Elijah was losing ground, when it looked like, you know what, you're just wasting your time doing this God stuff. You're just like, you could be here this Sunday morning working on more deal. You could be sleeping. You're wasting your time. God's like, when the power of God comes on your life, you will outrun, you will catch up, you will pass up everything in the natural. Come on, somebody. This for somebody today. So write this down. Here's your first point. I got 3 points today, as I normally do. Try and score a three-pointer. Number one, when seeking God for revival, he will supernaturally equip you and empower you to run ahead. Thank you, Jesus. When you're seeking God for revival, for the rain, right? Remember, the rain is a metaphor for the power, the success and prosperity and awakening of God. Because when the rain comes, everything flourishes. When the rain of God comes over your life, everything flourishes. You didn't hear what I said. I said everything flourishes. When the rain of God comes on your life, your marriage is going to flourish. Your finances are going to flourish. Your business is going to flourish. When the rain of God comes on your life, your mind is going to flourish. Your emotions are going to flourish. Your mental health is going to flourish. Your kids are going to flourish. When the rain of God comes on your life, it empowers you to run ahead. However, there is a season or a moment where it appears as though you're not ahead. Are you tracking with me? Because while Elijah was on the mountain, Ahab was on the chariots, on the horses, and he was going forward. And I want to challenge this thought with this point. The thought I'm really trying to challenge is the belief that serving God slows you down. I want to challenge that thought. Serving God slows you down. Because there is a doctrine of demons. I'm going to use a strong vernacular there. It's in the Bible. There is a doctrine demonically inspired that wants to cause you and I to believe that if I truly serve God, it's going to slow me down. It's going to slow down my dreams. It's going to slow down my happiness. It's going to slow down my life. It's almost like Jesus is an inconvenience. Like it's just a book of rules. And the world will cause you to believe that if you really want to be free, don't be part of any organized religion. Don't be part of no Sunday morning. Don't be part of no Word of God. And it's this demonic belief, right? That slows you down. Don't mind you, of course, you're not slowed down when you're all tore up from the floor up, you know, high like a kite, life disorganized, losing your job. But anyway, but you know, just smile at me, okay? Because you know how people are. They're like, you know, I'm worried about you. You know, you've been going to that church a lot. I just want to know. I don't want you to be kind of just really concerned, you know, like you've been really involved, you know, now you're not like not eating and stuff. That's kind of weird, you know, like that's, come on somebody, just concerned. I'm a little concerned. I care about you. But they didn't care about you while you were, you know, woke up with your shirt off, and you're like, what did we do last night? I don't know. It was so much fun. You know, it's always fun. They didn't care about you then. Anyway, they didn't care about you when you're like, I got no job. Anyway, okay, don't get focus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I want to challenge that thought, and I love that this verse is here because it shows us that serving God doesn't slow you down. In fact, when the power of God, when God gets ready to release something in your life, he's going to accelerate you. He's going to accelerate you. He's going to accelerate everything he put inside of you to outrun the horses, to run ahead of the horses. I feel like it's the title of the book I need to write, Running Ahead of the Horses. Because it doesn't make sense to run ahead of horses. Okay, here we go. In the natural, this doesn't make sense. Like, if me and a horse line up on a race, some of you might not know this, but I ran track when I was, you know, I was fast. I played sports. I was one fast Latino. I ran a 4.45 40. Where my football player is at? Come on, somebody. And so, you know, if you line me up with a horse, how many know a horse gonna win 10 times out of 10? Who are you putting money on? The horse, right? You'd be like, sorry, pastor, the horse, okay? I get it. I'm not mad at you. But the horse, let's go a little deeper, is a representation of the chariot was a representation of man's strategy of traveling faster. They hitch up the horse, they put the chariot, and this was a strategy, a picture of man's human mindset to travel fast. You always have to, you have to apply the Bible, okay? And so watch this verse in Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7. The Bible says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Okay, come on. We're having Bible study. Come on, we're having Bible study, okay? I've been in the lab, hence the doctor's shirt, okay? I've been in the lab, okay? Putting it all together. Okay, David's like, some people trust in chariots and horses. Now, it's almost like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean trust? What he was saying was, some people's method of winning wars and getting ahead is they put all their trust in what they can conjure up in their own thinking, okay? But David says, I trust in the name of the Lord. What he was saying is, I rely more on the power of the Holy Spirit to give me victory and to get me ahead than the strategy of humanistic thinking and what is consensus and what is a socially acceptable, what is quote unquote normal. And if that's normal, I don't want none of that. I want to be, come on somebody, supernatural, and I want to be different. Say amen. And so what this picture was, it was a picture, it represented man's strategies, and it was a picture, watch this now, of Elijah outrunning man's strategies. He outran by the power of God man's strategies, because they were trying to, you know, worship false gods to bring rain. That's man's strategy. They were trying to, you know, make things work. That's man's strategy. They were trying to get ahead. That's man. And God broke all of their humanistic strategies through his power, and Elijah started running. And it wasn't natural for Elijah to run ahead of horses. How many know that makes no sense? But I love it when God breaks all reason for you. I love it. And matter of fact, I hear the Lord saying God is going to break all natural thinking, all humanistic, everything that may seem normal. God is going to break it and cause you to run ahead because you're seeking him, you're fasting, you're praying, and watch how God's going to cause you to run ahead of the horses. Say amen. Oh yeah. In fact, I'll even say it like this. I believe that in this season, that if you're seeking God, you're praying for revival, revival will cause you to do things that you could never do. Amen. I could never run ahead of horses. But when the power of God comes on my life, I can do things that I could never do. Amen. I said, I could do things I could never do. I can do things I could never do. And some of you, I'm telling you right now, when you begin to see God, you're gonna do things you could never do. You're gonna run so far, you're gonna run so fast that it's not even gonna make sense how fast God is gonna accelerate you. There are people that think that they're ahead of you, doing it the devil's way, doing it sinful way, and they think they're chilling on their little horse, but you're gonna come up on here like, oh yeah, you don't even know. I've been fasting, I've been praying, I've been seeking God, and you're gonna come up on them, and they're gonna be like, how is
in the world that you get ahead of me. I got ahead of you because the power of God came on my life and the things that God put in me, he accelerated me. And some of y'all, you better start stretching. You better start stretching. You better get ready because God's going to... Hey, you better be careful because, listen, I'm old school Pentecostal. You don't realize that. I know I look young, but I got old school roots. I'll start running the church right now. We used to run the church. But I not like run the church, like try to run it. I mean, the power of God hit, I just start running. And they'd be like, what? What happened to that guy? He must have to go to the restroom. No, I was running. We'd run. Because it was a form like God, I'm running with you. And I want to encourage you with this word this morning. You're running with God. You're running with God. Come on, where's the man at? You're running with God. I said, you're running with God. You're running with God's strength. You're running with God's strength. You're running with God's strength. Ladies, come on. You're running with God's strength. You're running with God's strength. Come on. My family this year is going to run with God. I used to, they say problems used to run in my family. Now God's going to run in my family. Come on. They say curses. They say addictions used to run in my family. Guess what? Now the blessing of God is going to run in my family. Why? Because I'm running with God. Come on. Tell three people, say, I'm running with God. I'm running with God. I'm running with God. I'm running with God. Because there's only two ways to do this thing. I got a few minutes here left. Oh, Lord, help me. There's only two ways to do this thing. You can either do this thing, watch me now, running with God's strength or running on your own strength. There's only two ways to do it. You can try to do it on your own strength. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. And can we all just be honest? How did that work out for you? Okay. How'd that work out doing it your way? You're like, that's why I'm here, doc. Come on, somebody, amen. I'm having fun with that today. I don't care what you say. You know, like, how did that work out for you running on your own strength? Let's all be honest. I'm going to do whatever I want. There's only two ways to do it. You can run on God's strength, or you can run on your own strength. Elijah made a decision. I'm going to run with God's strength. And the corresponding result, he outran the horses. Some of you are going to do things this year because you saw God. This is a prophetic word for somebody. I told you, it's an action word. You're going to do things. You're going to run ahead of the natural because I waited on God's power. And I don't want, come on, and that's who I want to empower. He equipped me. He empowered me. And I'm going to run ahead of the horses. Tell someone, say, run ahead of the horses this year. Tell them, say, run ahead of the horses this year. Run ahead of the horses. Come on, somebody. I'm just going to post a horse emoji today. I'm gonna run ahead of the horses. We got to do this. You can't complain, you know. Don't complain. Thank you, Lord. Don't complain if it looks like someone who is not following God appears to be ahead of you. That was for somebody right there. Don't get mad if it appears right now that someone who is not serving God, you, here you are, I'm trying to live for God, and it looks like they're ahead of me. Don't compare. Because when God gets ready to call your name, he gets ready to call your life, he is not going to ask the devil permission if he can put you ahead. When God gets ready to bring the power of God over your life, he is going to accelerate even time, space, and miracles to put you ahead to show the world that your God is greater, your God is stronger, and your God is the real God who brings the rain. Say amen. That's how it was for me and my wife, you know. We couldn't have kids. Everybody's like, we're having a child. That first time's great. And then we started like, well, that's great. What about us, Lord? And now I got all these kids. Lord, help me. I got ahead. I know it's going to be like that. Yeah. But don't complain if it looks like someone who ain't honoring God is ahead. God's power will come on your life. And you're going to run ahead of the horses. God, I'm going to say amen right there. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You can take the horses or you can take the Holy Spirit. I choose the Holy Spirit. Something I live by, and I just want to give it to someone. I'm going to get to my second point here, I promise, in a certain moment.
maybe next week, just joking. Excellence, write this down. This ain't your second point, but here's for somebody. Because I do agree in using strategy. I don't want to tell you that I'm just like, I don't need no strategy. No, but this is something that we live by here in my life, and I translate it into my business life, and I translate it into our church life, how we run the church and all that. But just write this down. Excellence is our strategy, but the Holy Spirit is my dependence. I'm gonna say it again. Excellence is my strategy, but the Holy Spirit is my dependence. That's gonna help somebody. So I'm not telling you don't be excellent. No, use your strategies. But my dependence is on the Holy Spirit. I don't depend on my strategies. Are you tracking with me? So we're gonna do things excellent. We're gonna think of ideas. We're gonna think of strategies. But at the end of the day, we don't depend on those. We depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. And that'll help you to organize it. Okay, let me give you this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 27. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run, what does the Bible say? What? To win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose, the Bible says, in what? Every step, and I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, train it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified. Paul lived in the Roman Games arena competition times, and he used a lot of examples about competition in your Christian life. Now, you're not competing against the person sitting next to you or the person sitting to the right of you, okay? You're competing against who you were yesterday. That's your only competition, is who you were yesterday. So don't ever get mad when God blesses your neighbor sitting next to you. If God blesses your neighbor, you ought to get happy, because that means God's in your neighborhood. And God likes to do good in the hood. Come on, somebody. So don't get mad. Be like, if he blessed someone in my neighbor, that means God's in the neighborhood. I'm next. Come on now, all right? So I like how Paul says, so run to win. In other words, you got to actually run to want to win. He's like, I discipline my body like an athlete trained. Verse 27, I discipline my body like an athlete trained to do what it does. He's like, I live a disciplined life so that I can run this race that God has called me to run. And that's what we did through fasting, guys. That's what we're doing when you're waking up on Sunday to go to church. You're telling your body, you're not telling me what to do. The Holy Spirit controls us what to do, and we're going to be obedient to God. You have to discipline your body. You have to discipline yourself to be able to say, I'm going to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by my desires. I like how Herschel Walker, he says, when you train hard, you're hard to beat. Come on, somebody. When you train hard, you're hard to beat. And when you train yourself hard in the things of God, you're hard for the devil to beat you. Come on, somebody. He can't beat you out. Okay, number two, write this down. I'm going to wrap this up, this outline here. It's important that you realize God, but I'll tell you what's important is who you run with. Who you run with is important. Who you run with, okay, is very important. Letter A, write this down underneath that. You got to run with the right people. You got to run with the right people. That's why it's important that as we come into this Connect Group season, you got to run with the right believers next to you. You can't run with the wrong people. You got to run with the right people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You got to know your company. You got to know who's rolling with you. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't know unsaved people or unbelievers. I'm talking about who you run with. Are you tracking with me? Who do you actually run with? The five people closest to you, the principle of association, the five people closest to you is a summation of what your future looks like. So you gotta run with the right people. Letter B, write this down in your notes. You gotta run right when you're alone. You gotta run right when you're alone. Turn it down just a little bit. You gotta run right when you're alone. What do I mean by that? Sometimes when you're running, no one's there, but you gotta make sure that you're running the right way. Don't cheat yourself. You know, it's kind of at the gym. I always tell my son, don't do cheater reps. You know cheater reps? Like halfway. One, that ain't one. You know, that's half, you know, two, three, and then you stop at nine. You're cheating yourself. Don't cheat yourself. You already drove to the gym. You're already sweating. You're already wearing the shorts. Might as well not cheat yourself. You tracking what I'm saying? So you can, when you're running alone, you got to make sure that don't hold yourself accountable and run right. Number three, write this down, and I'm finished with this outline. What you run with. The Bible says, and we'll finish here, that he tucked his cloak in his shirt. 1 Kings 18:46. The Bible says, the power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. You need to know how to run efficient. Run efficient. Put this on your notes somewhere. Efficiency is greater than effort. You can work, you know the old adage, work smarter, not harder, right? But efficiency is greater than effort. So Elijah tucks his cloak into his belt. He was like, I'm gonna run efficiently, you know, so that I can get optimal performance or optimal, you know, out of my life. He tucks his cloak into his belt. And I love how a correlating scripture that matches really good with this out of Hebrews here. We're gonna read this and then we're gonna pray. Watch what it says here. Go to Hebrews for me, team. It says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Someone say, lay aside. Watch what it says here. Grab your pen and underline these words. Every weight and the sin. Say weights and sins. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily, bold that word easily, because it's so easy to get tripped up, so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is what? Set before us. Good word, Brother Paul, in the book of Hebrews. I love this because, and I'm going to end right here, Paul says that you got to lay aside weights and sins. These are two different things in your Christian walk. Some things are not a sin, but it's a weight on you. And it's slowing you down from running what God wants you to run this year. And you got to lay it aside. And you got those two things for me? So, thanks. Oh, these are 100-pound backpacks. Ah, just joking. Good. Weights and sin. Some things in your life are not sin, but they're weights. And efficiency and running ahead of the horses has less to do with right or wrong. It's about good and best. I said something there. Good and best. Where there are weights in your life that are not sins. Like you're, because let me answer a question that you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I didn't kill nobody yesterday, you know, I'm good, you know, I don't know why I feel like I'm not getting ahead, you know, I didn't violate my marriage or vows, that, you know, I'm still loyal, like, I don't understand, I didn't break the Ten Commandments, like, why am I not getting ahead? I'm telling you, it's not because it's not a sin, it's weights that you're carrying. Weights like what? Weights like negativity, okay? Weights like doubt and unbelief. Weights like running with the wrong circle. You tracking what I'm saying? Weights that he's like, put aside the weights and the sin so that you can run the race that is marked out for you. And that's why we're fasting. We're losing weight. Get it? Pun intended. I'm losing weight.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.